How's everyone doing today? Oh, we're missing a singer. She'll be up here eventually. So we have a new singer this morning. That's Jasper Fisher. So he's been around. So it's nice to actually outnumber the women for a change. That's good.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can just come here. Father, we just thank you for just another beautiful day this morning. That was beautiful yesterday. And Father, I was sitting around the fair yesterday watching thousands of people go by. It was just interesting, the beauty of it, and watching I love to watch your creation. People that know you, the people that don't, I don't know any of their stories, but just sit and watch and see the interaction of families, interactions of couples, interactions with just people going by, Father. Just as I sat there and watched in the beauty of your day, my heart goes out to those people. How many of them are walking through a fair lost? How many are walking through a crowd of people feeling so alone, yet they're in the midst of thousands? And we as your people sit in the comfort of your love, the comfort of your companionship, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're so full. And we're never alone. Whether we're by ourselves physically or we're in the midst of thousands, we're never alone as your children. And Father, I pray that we would never be satisfied with just keeping that to ourselves. When we have those opportunities to speak, we have those opportunities to interact with our world, and we have those opportunities to advance your word, your words of life, to someone that has no hope, has no sense of life, because they are dead in their sins. Father, may your light shine in and through our lives to that broken, dark world. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
I lay my life down at your feet. You're the only one I need. I turn to you. You first, that's all I need. I humble all I am to all through you.
One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.
By faith and not by sight, for you live.
only one that I could live
for. Okay, so now we're going to do a fast one. I'm just kidding.
To wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Awesome in power, our God, our God. Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Higher than any other. Our God.
God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Amen.
Thank you.
darkness ablaze, but Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, God, for the power of your name, and thank you so much that because of the sacrifice of your Son, we stand in confidence. There is so much going on in this world, so much just in our communities, the rising numbers that everybody's reporting of disease, of pandemic. God, that's a stronghold, and I can see it coming down in Jesus' name. God, let us come, respond to the promise in your word, to humbly come, submit ourselves, and pray. And you will come and you will heal our land. Jesus, let us obey. Thank you.
Lead me when I
oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine,
I am yours,
and you are mine,
I am yours,
and you are.
Standing on this mountain top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us.
Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can
children. Never once did I ever walk alone. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, for your strength, for your unchanging nature. When so much of our world is unpredictable and changes from one minute to the next, you never change. You are the way, the truth, and the life. God, may we walk with you. May we respond to you. May we accept your invitation to be your children. May we walk in that confidence. Always. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
God all seems like when we sing, I even pick these songs. When I go through the song set, it's just, I know what I'm speaking on. I know what Pastor Mike's speaking on. I know who we're speaking on. But even in that, as I'm flipping through all the music that we have in our file cases back there, still in that moment, Father, what do you want us to sing? Right? And then sometimes it changes up even worship. It happened last week. We went and changed some of the set songs and just because whatever was happening. But as I was singing these words this morning, the ocean song, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters where you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I hope those aren't just words that you sang. Because if you're singing those words with the reality and the truth of what you sang, he'll take you there. Are you ready to go there? Are you ready to be stretched to where your trust isn't without borders? Are you willing to be stretched into that place of, man, God, I don't know about this. Is this really where you want me to go? Is this the place you want me to go? Is this the place you want me to walk into? Is this the people you want me to have the conversations with? And if you're listening to the Father in those moments, it's a resounding yes, that's where he wants you to be. Are you going to mess it up from time to time? Oh, yeah, I mess it up all the time. Right? But I'd rather mess up trying to hear Father's word and go and talk to people, and maybe that wasn't the right time or the right thing, but I've never, even I said, well, did I really mess that up? It's just like maybe it wasn't exactly how I wanted to go down, but at the end of the day, it's exactly what Father wanted. So that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm messing up. I had an idea of how it was going to go. That's not how it went at all. So that's what I'm talking about, and I love, and in the last one, we're just saying this idea of kneeling on this battleground. That doesn't seem like a very good place to be. Right, in the battleground, you want to think you want to be up and ready to fight. You don't want to be thinking about kneeling down the battleground, but we as believers, that's the best position for us to be in, is it not? On our knees, interceding and praying. Interceding and praying in big ways, and we talked about that a little bit. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I can't remember. My brain's a little muddled at the moment for on details of when it happened. But so we were talking about the needs and services that we have, and just in our little body here of needs of positions to be filled. We have a big need. We lost our children's director. We have no children's director right now. So be praying, right? And I'm not putting it out there like, when are you going to step up and do it? Pray for someone to come in, right? So it's not about necessarily, it is just about praying for that position, but it's about praying, God, send the laborers because the harvest is ripe. Amen? That was said a long time ago. It's still true today, and I would say even more so. I know it's a weird place to put an announcement, but I'm just saying, right? We just need to be praying on our knees, interceding on God's, on Father's behalf about who he would have here. Because he's got the right person to come in and fill that need and all the other needs that we have. Because he's faithful. He doesn't ever let us walk alone. It's interesting. I wasn't planning to pray that prayer about, sitting at the fair. And then we sing the song. I wasn't even remembering what songs, even though we just sang it in worship practice this morning. But I just think about that as walking through the fair, and it was packed. And some of you don't like packed crowds. I love it. I love it when it's wall to wall. People are jammed up against me. I love walking through crowds like that. Other people, not so much. My wife is not one of those. She's like, from here to where she stands back there, that's her comfort zone. All right, with strangers, right? And that's okay. Right, but it's just the amount of people. And the other thing I saw yesterday was just I didn't see a lot of anger yesterday. I don't know if I ever saw any grumpy faces. It was all smiles because people want to be with people. Right? And we didn't get to do this last year. It all closed down because of all the stuff going on. And then when they got the opportunity to do so, here they come. Right. It was fascinating. I left here yesterday. I had a meeting. I was trying to get over to support Devon and the people that were walking the barefoot mile. And I actually got to walk the last part with Devon. It was awesome. And if you don't know what that is, it was a mile walk in the support of trafficking, not supporting trafficking, but in support of the victims of trafficking. And so it was just, what's that? Miners, specifically for that one. So It's interesting to walk around in the barefoot miles. Now you actually take your shoes off and walk and so on a bike path that goes around the Myers baseball field and on the fairgrounds. It's not painful, but it's not comfortable, right? And your little kids are used to running around barefoot, but as old people, we don't run around barefoot much anymore, I don't think. It's like, oh, grass, ooh, ear, gooey things I step on in the yard, right? You know, it's like, that's just not our thing. You know, my grandson loves running around barefooted. You know, he'd rather run and he runs around the gravel and like nothing. I'm walking out there, like, let me find a softer rock to step on, right? He's just blasting away across it. But as you walk around and remember that and know that there's so much of that going on in our own state, something to be praying about. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who has a friend that's their job to track airplanes that are full of people that are being trafficked. And he's caught and he recognizes, I don't know how it all works out, but he indicates these are aircraft and they go and they rescue those women and children and people that are being trafficked out of those airplanes. And he's rescued 900. But he said he had one plane that he missed. And it's devastating him. Because there's 15 people out there that I'll never catch. I'll never get back because they got away. I wasn't able to track them quick enough. Here's a heart of someone who is rescuing the lost, and in a real sense of the way, who is protecting the innocent. And I just can't wrap my mind around the depravity that someone has to have to think that's a good idea. That they're so consumed with their money or whatever it is, I'm assuming it's money that drives that's okay to subject women and children primarily to this kind of a thing. I just can't wrap my mind around it. But as deprived as that is, Father still died for those people who do that. That's a crazy thing to think about, isn't it? This is all extra. This isn't even where I'm going this morning. This is something that Father laid on my heart to talk about a little bit this morning until we're going there. But it is in the sense of how are we advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in our world. So this morning we are in Philippians chapter 2, or not chapter 2, Pastor Mike was there last week. We are in chapter 1. We'll finish up here, verses 12 through 18 this morning. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 12, I'll say it again. Verses 12 through 18. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So that has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. We'll continue on in a moment. But I just want to look at this here. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What a statement. What has happened to me has really been served to advance the gospel. And as I read this phrase, and I know the things I've read about Paul and the things that I read about his life in Scripture, and we'll look at a few of those things later on, but as you think about the life of Paul, you realize what has happened to him in his life since his conversion, since his road to Damascus, right? What a crazy life this man has lived. But every step of the way he comes to this point in his life, what has happened to me has really been served to advance the gospel. That his whole focus and point is like, man, whatever is happening to me, how can I use it to advance the gospel? And I love here, he's like, so much so that it has become known through the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Wow. Now I don't know a whole lot about it. I did a little bit of research, so if I'm speaking, you know, somebody can, if I'm speaking erroneously, some of you theologians can correct me. But as I think about this imperial guard, these weren't just lay guards, right? From what I understand, these imperial guards were hand-picked bodyguards of the emperor. These are the guys that were chained up to Paul. That's the other thing that I read. I don't know if it was happening here, but I'm assuming so. But they're chained to Paul. Now you really got a captive audience. I mean, it's bad enough to get a preacher a mic, right? Now you're chained to a preacher. Oh, man, what a bummer of a job, right? like, no, don't chain me to Paul. All he talks about is God and Jesus, and he's trying to convert me, and right? But I just think about these guys. What the, you know, we don't have any record of this, but what kind of stories did Paul listen to? Because I'm sure Paul shut up sometimes and listened to these guys talk. Because I know any good preacher, any good guy that's wanting to advance the gospel, it's about finding out who these people are and where they're living in their life. I'm sure Paul was no different, as he was imprisoned here, and it had become throughout the whole imperial guard. So obviously his impact was huge as he was chained up with these guys and as he was interacting with these guys. And but in that circumstances, how many of us would, if we were chained up and thrown in prison today, would be whining and griping, and especially if we were innocent of the charge, or we were in prison? He wasn't innocent. Why? It was because of Christ, right? If we went to jail today for Christ, would we be whining and crying about it, or would we be like Paul going, man, I got thrown in jail because I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. They'd be like, what? You didn't murder somebody? You didn't, you know, rob somebody? No. All I did was refuse to shut my church down. All right? I'm ready to go to jail for that. I'm telling you what, I'm not shutting this thing down ever again. Not happening. And it's not because I'm trying to be edgy or whatever. I just not doing it. You don't have to come, but the doors are going to be open. I'll go to jail for that. Will it be fun? No, I'm not. I wouldn't look forward to going to jail. But I'd rather go to jail in defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ than not. It's amazing when we have these moments. As I think about this what Paul is going through in just these couple of verses, Father asked me a couple of questions this week. He's like, so Paul did this, all the things that happened to Paul to advance the gospel. What has happened in your life, son, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I put that question to you. What has happened in your life? What experiences have you had in your life to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or have those experiences, like we're saying about today, the scars and trials on the way, do those things define us? Or are they just a testimony to the greatness of God? I'm telling you what, I love scars. I love physical scars because it tells a story. And if I know the person well enough, I ask them, hey, how'd you get that scar? Right, because I love the story and the history. Sometimes it can be a very painful event. Sometimes it'll be something for, you know, me when I was younger, doing something really stupid, right? Because I think, hey, I can do that and pay the consequences for those scars. But it's still a story, right? And most of the time I learn from that. Sometimes not. Sometimes I repeat the process, right? But I'm saying these scars, but a lot of us have emotional scars, right? Do they advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, or do they make us a victim? I am not a victim. And neither are you, by the way. Whatever you experience is not, you're not a victim. You're a blood-bought son, daughter of Jesus Christ, and those are just part of your story. And all the things I've experienced in my life, I would not change any of it. Because of who it has made me and who it has caused me to rely on who Jesus Christ is in my life. And I've used those moments over and over and over again. And I don't always talk about all the nitty-gritty details of it because it's just not that I'm ashamed of it, just because it's not appropriate in every situation. But there are things that have come out. Even the last week, we were sitting around our living room, and in a moment we talked about some things that happened and the things that I'll make a message out of it later, because it's a powerful piece. About how we take scripture, and I think a lot of times we read it and it's not like this, it's sometimes we just take it as metaphorical and it's not the realness of it, especially like the armor of God. And I'm not going to go there because I'll start preaching there, right? But it's not a metaphor, it's the actual reality of us living in this place of scripture. How has our story caused us to advance the gospel? Are we known as believers in Jesus Christ, or are we not? In your realms of influence, are you known as not just a Christian, because I mean, I'm not opposed to that term, but at the same time, that doesn't tell me anything. But when I hear, oh, someone has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that tells me something, a whole different story. How many people in your realm of influence know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and all the things that he's done in and through your life. How many people know that? So I'm kind of thinking who Paul was. He didn't have to talk a lot. I think it just came out through his pores. All right? I think verse 14 here in Philippians, and most of the, because of what's happened to him, because he's in this prison, because of his testimony be going through the whole imperial guard, verse 14, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That's a big thing, people. Your story is not just for you. Your testimony is not just for the world. It's for other brothers and sisters to watch you walk out your life. So they are then emboldened to go share the gospel without fear. That's a big deal. I mean, there's so much going on in our life, in our world right now, that's driven by fear. I don't care what it is. We don't know what the truth is on any of the stuff, right? Okay? But what's driving it? Fear. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but the things that are driving everything, it's fear. If we stop being afraid, not be, you know, bury our head in the sand, we're not talking about that. Live out in the reality of what we're living in. But still, I'm going to walk with confidence and fear. I'm not going to worry about it. To walk into someone's, you know, space that's, you know, whatever it is, whatever they're going through, whether it's, you know, they got COVID or whatever they got going on, walk into that space of fear. I'm not saying be ignorant and don't be whatever safe, but I'm saying stop being fearful. Because I can tell you from past my own experiences, when I'm afraid, it affects my body physically. It does. And I'm not saying everything out there is psychosomatic. I'm not even beginning to suggest that. But I know when I wallow in whatever kind of illness I'm going through, whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical, if I concentrate on the pain, it hurts a lot more. Does it not? Is that just me? Or is that you guys experience that? Right? But if I can get my headspace in a place, yes, it still hurts. I'm not denying that. It doesn't still hurt. But if I can get my headspace in a place where I'm not focused on that and I'm focused on something else, it doesn't hurt as bad. Whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. And when we as brothers and sisters walk in that place of like, yes, I'm going through some hard things, but man, God is so good. And it's not just a catchphrase. But it's the reality in which I walk, and I see this in Paul, because if this wasn't a real thing in Paul's life, I'm very confident that the brothers around him wouldn't have been confident to speak the word without fear. I guarantee you that. It had to be something so real and so genuine and so powerful that these men and women, it says brothers, but I'm sure there were women here too. I just like, they couldn't help it. Man, look what Paul, he's in prison and I'm out. What excuse do I have? I should be preaching the word of God. I should be speaking the word of God with confidence. And without fear. And that rubbing off on each other where the brothers became confident, you know what that's called? That's called discipleship. And you're gonna be hearing a lot about that, Pastor Mike, and just that's our focus for until Jesus comes home, right? Because that's what Jesus told us to do, right? He told us to go make disciples, right? Am I wrong in that? That's what he told us to do. And so this is part of making disciples. Like if we're making disciples and we're speaking into each other's lives, and you know, because I talk about it all the time, I have men and women that speak into my life on a regular basis, and it's just like, man, I walk in confidence because I know I have those people in my life. And I got to meet with a couple of my brothers again this week, just, and I'm in a different place, and it's a lot better place than I've been in the past, and it's just like, man, you look good. It's like, that's cool, but it's really sad that I look bad, right? But I have these people that are honest with me. Like, dude, you're way out of line here. And I need that. We all need that. That's not just for me, but that's for all of us to get in this place where we're rubbing off on each other, we're discipling each other, we're in this place of how can I get deeper and deeper in my relationship with Jesus Christ so that the whole focus is how do I advance the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, as I sat there in the fair yesterday, you know, I was like, how many people have no idea how loved they are? I have no idea. I know some of them do because they're believers in Jesus Christ, but I'm saying they have a relationship. But at the end of the day, how many of those thousands of people walk through there just wishing somebody would love them? And since as I was thinking about, again, this life that Paul has led, let's just look at a couple other scriptures this morning. Just kind of gives us an indication. I think we all know who Paul is and what his life was. But there's just a couple passages that Paul, this place that Paul lived from where he could just really disciple people and really live out his life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, you can just listen, you don't necessarily turn there. But starting in verse 10, he's talking about the ministry of apostles. In verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are held in honor, but we in dispute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. We are reviled. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become, but are still like scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then to be imitators of me. I mean, what a statement to make to have all these things and to have the opposite happening, right? With hunger and thirst, or poorly dressed, buffeted, and homeless. Well, that would make most of us run for the hills and deny Jesus Christ, would it not? Or when we were reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. Whew. I don't know about you, but I know there's a lot of times when those kinds of things have happened to me, I fight back. When somebody's slandering me, I'm like, oh, be blessed. That's not in my nature. It's in Jesus' nature. It's in God's nature, and that's how the nature I need to tap into. But this is the kind of person Paul's like, this is where I'm at. And he goes on, and we have become, and we're still like scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I mean, that's a statement to define yourself, right? I'm the scum of the earth. What a statement. But what are we willing to become to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? What are we willing to be known for? Are we willing do we want to be lifted up? And it's not saying it's an easy place to walk. It's not. It's not an easy mind to get into. It's not about being, weak and mamby-pamby. I'm not talking about that. But how do we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we combative or are we just continuing to love? Are we continuing to speak into those people's lives like, I get what you're saying, but here's the truth of the matter, you decide. I'm not going to try to convince you. That's not my job. My job is to tell you the truth and then turn you over to a holy God that does a lot of better job of trying to convince you than I ever could. Because then he can speak to the real issues of what you're looking at and thinking about. I don't have no idea what those things are. Another passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 3. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God. Oh, I love this phrase. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, yet are true. as unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. Woo! To get in that place, that's what, to be in that kind of place as a child of God, that's advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? If we as brothers and sisters, as we as the church as a whole around the world lived in this place of like, man, it's not about us, and we love to throw that phrase around. But to really get in this place, it doesn't matter if I'm being slandered, it doesn't matter if I'm being praised, it doesn't matter if I'm called an imposter, I know who I am. It doesn't matter if they say I'm unknown, I'm known by the one that matters. It doesn't matter if my name's ever in lights, and I don't ever want that, by the way. But I am known by my Creator, and that's all that matters. But how many times do we as brothers and sisters, like, we want so much more than that? There's nothing greater than that. People seeking all these things, and we have it all here, and Paul does such a great job of talking about this. So that's who this man is, and I think they had some idea of who this was, so this confidence and to be able to speak the word without fear. Then we continue on, and this is this guy, very interesting, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter did it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaimed Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? And I love the statement. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. You can wrestle through the theology in that. It's like, you mean somebody that's preaching Christ, even though they're doing it from a wrong heart, is a good thing? If they're preaching Christ and the truth, absolutely. Their heart issue is a different story. But if Christ is being proclaimed and they're preaching the truth, good. That's really weird because it really messes with my head, going like, well, how is that right? But word of God doesn't return void. It always does, always accomplishes what's set out to do. And that can really mess with us because they're like, well, but they don't. No, no, no. Are they preaching the word? If they're not preaching the word, that's a different conversation. If they're preaching blasphemy, we can talk about that. If they're preaching an errant word and they're saying this is who Jesus Christ is and that's not who he is at all, then we can talk about that. That's a whole different conversation. But if they're preaching the truth of God's word, their heart attitude is about them, not about the word. They're missing out, not the word. The word is true. The word is true. The word is true. Here's my questions to you this morning besides the ones I've already asked. First of all, how is your life advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it? Are you discipling people in your walk? Are people able to look at your life and go, man, I want what they have. I don't want to be like them because they are who they are. They're individuals, but I want to walk in that same kind of confidence. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. It matters what happens to me. I know that I'm known, and I know that I'm loved by the Creator of the universe, and it just doesn't matter. And I know that's an easy thing to say and a whole different thing to practice. I get it. And on top of that, what is our motivation for speaking Jesus Christ? What is our heart motivation? Is it out of, you know, and I pray it's out of like, man, I really have a desire to have people come into relationship with a Creator who knows them so intimately. knit them together in their mother's womb, and I can't even fathom that, and I've been thinking about that statement all my life. That still messes with my mind. To be known at that level. But what is my motivation for speaking Christ? Is it something because it's just my job? It's just not my job. Because I better be speaking Christ more than just up here on a Sunday morning for half an hour. It needs to be happening every single day whether I'm here or I'm out and about, wherever I'm at, I should be speaking Christ. Am I quoting scripture to everyone I see? No, but I'm living out this life of who Jesus Christ is in and through me. And when people get to know who you are and they get to know your story and they get to see how you're living your life and they're going, how can you possibly have any good thing to say about Jesus Christ when you've lived this kind of life and he's dragged you through all these things in your life? Man, he didn't drag me through nothing. Most of the time, he was carrying my broken self through that place. I didn't have the ability to walk. I didn't have the ability to stand. I didn't have the ability to do anything else but cry out, Jesus, please help me. Because I dare say it's sad that I think there's people that use scripture as a platform for their soapbox to talk about things that have nothing to do with the Word of God. They twist scripture and they make it say something that's not to support an agenda that's flying around in our world right now. I don't want the scripture to ever be a soapbox to stand on to spin an agenda. I want the scripture to be something that I stand on because it's the foundation of my life. And my sole purpose and desire, not just mine, all of ours, by the way, our only purpose here in this world while we live and breathe is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're not doing that, we need to check why we're not doing that. Where's our motivation? Where's our heart? Where's our love? Do we want to impact those around us? Are we willing to go into those places that are uncomfortable? That may cause others to look at us and go, why are you going there? Why are you talking to those people? Don't you know they're the scum of the earth? No, I am, actually. But actually, I'm not scum of the earth. I'm a redeemed son, and so are you. You're a redeemed child of God. Whole. Perfect. Without spot and blemish. That's a whole nother message, right? But I'm just sensing I need to say these things to you this morning. Because it's easy to get weighed down by the things that we've experienced or the things that we're experiencing now and go, but you just don't understand. I may not, but he does. And your story, whether it's past or what you're going through right now, is going to be part of who you are, and your scars and your things that you've walked through are things of beauty. We try to hide them. The greatest scars in existence are on the hands of our Savior. I love that those will never go away. Because they were there in his glorified body, so I don't think they're, when he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, those scars are still on his hands. In whatever form that is, I believe when we get home, we will be able to put our hands. And those nail scars. Because they indicate why we get to be here. They indicate why we get to have this life. because his blood cured everything. Father God, this morning I thank you for this time. I thank you for this snapshot this morning into Paul's life as he sits in this prison, glorifying you, imprisoned with these highly skilled imperial guards. Part of me would love to, I don't know if we'll get to ever see that, but those conversations that were had with those warriors, as he led them to you, as he led them into relationship with you, and the impact that he had on his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in that time and place. Father, this morning may we be like Paul in the sense that we are living our lives totally sold out for you in whatever situation we find ourselves. And we, none of us may ever find ourselves inside an actual prison with bars, but some of us have been living in a prison of our woundedness for decades. Father, this morning I just hear you saying it's time to tear the prison walls down. He has made you free. Those are just moments in time. They don't define you. He has made everything beautiful. It's time for us to use our scars and our woundings as a place, a platform to glorify the greatness of God and the freedom we get to live in. So may we, like our brothers and sisters in this passage, speak the word without fear. Your word, pure, simple, with no commentary, just your word. I pray your boldness, your spirit-filled people in this place this morning, Father, to speak with boldness this week, today in their realms of influence. If they've never talked about their story to people, then I pray, Father, you bring someone to their life that needs to hear their story. They'll find hope and healing. It's like, man, if God led you through that, there's a Savior that loved you even though that happened to you and you had this experience and you're walking in wholeness and freedom. How is that possible? Because I got a great Savior who's a healer. He wants to make you whole. You can be whole. And it's an everyday dying to self. It's an everyday laying down your cross, taking up your cross. It's an everyday. In the early days, it's a moment by moment thing going, man, I don't want to carry this anymore. It doesn't define me, but it is part of who I am. Let me tell you my story about the greatness of my Savior. So the gospel is advanced. Oh, I thank you so much, Jesus, for this time, this place. I thank you for your blood. I thank you that someday I'm going to be able to see those nail scars in your hands and be reminded once again what you have done for me and countless others. Thank you so much, Jesus. And it's in your precious, powerful name we pray.